I'm David Martin Davies, and coming up on The Source, we're covering the breaking news of the severe and widespread flooding in the Texas Hill Country. The National Weather Service says the flood emergency is ongoing and additional rainfall remains capable of producing even more catastrophic flooding. There's been at least one loss of life, according to the governor's office. There is severe flooding in the greater Kerrville area, in Fredericksburg, in Uvalde, and in other regions. There have been evacuations, people stranded in their homes, and many high water rescues. Flood warnings are continuing into the afternoon. This is happening 1 year and 12 days after the July 4th flood of 2025. And while rain totals are much worse, the reaction to the flooding appears to be much improved. We're going to have the latest. If you've been impacted by the flooding, we want to hear from you. Call in at 833-877-8255. That's what's coming up on The Source. But first, this news.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
Live from the John L. Santico studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We are covering the breaking news of the severe and widespread flooding in the Texas Hill Country, west of San Antonio into Uvalde, and down to the border in the Del Rio area. We have had over 30 inches of rain fallen in some areas, catastrophic flooding in multiple rivers, the Guadalupe, the Pernales, Frio, Nueces rivers, all will reach critical flood stages. We're looking at the weather radar. It does appear that more severe rain is on the way. We were going to have coverage of this breaking news throughout the hour. And you can call in. We want to get the latest on what is happening on the ground across the region. If you want to call in with a weather report, what you're seeing, the flooding, give us a call. The rescues, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. According to the governor's office, there has been one loss of life. There have been dozens and dozens of high water rescues. People stranded in their homes. People are still advised to shelter in place. It may look like the river has receded in some areas, and it has, but they are expecting it to come back. They are expecting another wave, and it could come up quickly. They do not want people, again, to be put in harm's way, so they're telling folks to stay sheltered in place. We're going to have coverage of the breaking news throughout the hour. First, let's bring in Bob Orvec. He is the Senior National Forecaster with the Weather Prediction Center at the National Weather Service. Bob, welcome to The Source.
Thanks, Dave. Glad to be here.
Tell me, what do you see? What is going on with the weather? Why is this happening?
Well, you know, we've had repeated bouts of some very heavy rain. Obviously, people around the San Antonio area into the west and northwest can attest to that. And it's just been a very stagnant weather pattern, especially across the middle part of the country. And that's supported a very slow-moving mid- to upper-level system. And each evening going into the overnight, the thunderstorm activity has enhanced around this system and has produced very heavy rain, hasn't moved a lot. Some of the same areas have seen multiple rounds of precipitation. And it looks like we're going to have at least probably one more night where we have the thunderstorm activity reigniting overnight tonight into the day on Friday. Hopefully after that, it looks like the system breaks down. It starts to weaken. So I think the intensity and coverage of the heavy precipitation should start to diminish after that.
So a low-pressure system basically sitting on top of this area, it's bringing in moisture from the Gulf. I'm just seeing it just repeating over and over again. There were predictions yesterday that low would move further to the west and stop dumping all this water on the same area. But is that happening?
It hasn't happened as quickly as initially forecast. But it does look like the consensus, at least from all the numerical models that are the basis for the forecast, is that it will weaken and move west-northwestward. So there is some hope going forward. Obviously, the after effects of the flooding are not going to go away right away, but at least the source of some of the worst weather looks like it should be dis- diminishing, but we do have one more round of potentially heavier precipitation after the stuff that's occurring today, possibly tonight and into Friday.
How different is this than the system that caused the flooding from 1 year ago?
Yeah, I think it's more persistent than the previous system. Obviously, the effects are similar with respect to flooding. The only good news here is I think people are more prepared for this one. We definitely learned the lessons about being prepared for heavy rainfall, especially heavy rainfall at night. A lot of times in the middle part of the country, some of the most intense rainfall occurs overnight, at least the late night hours after 2 a.m., and they often continue into the daytime hours. But I think the people seem to be more prepared. Hopefully, we won't see the issues with respect to fatalities as we saw last year.
So we were told last year that was basically a freak one-off, maybe once-in-a-lifetime kind of weather event. And now here we are again. And not only is it a repeat, but it seems to be worse, more rain, and also more widespread. So, I mean, what does that mean?
Well, anomalous events, like historic events, can occur more frequently than you would think. A lot of times you hear, and we were having a whole discussion here in our office, you hear it's a 500-year event. But, it's kind of misleading to say it's a 500-year event in the sense that it's not going to occur for another 500 years. The terminology like 500-year event, 100-year event is being used to try to explain probabilities. A 500-year event is supposed to mean there's a 0.2% chance any year that a certain criteria, say very heavy rain, will occur at a point. So it does get a little confusing to use 500-year event because, in a sense, the 500-year period resets itself every year, actually immediately. So I've never been a big fan of using those because I think it does cause confusion. I think to communicate uncertainty or to communicate how rare an event is, you can use it's an event that might occur every 500 years. It doesn't mean it won't occur again the next year. So
because here we are,
Exactly.
Quickly. So looking at the situation, where do you see are the problem areas? Where should people really, really pay attention and prepare for another round of heavy rain overnight?
Yeah. It's one thing about, we're saying it's going to be another round of heavy rain. The exact details of where the thunderstorms form sometime aren't necessarily well forecast with respect to exact location. But a lot of areas, as you mentioned before, from Uvalde northward to Fredericksburg and just to the west of San Antonio, have already received some very heavy rainfall amounts. So with the potential for additional heavy rainfall amounts, the flooding issues are obviously going to continue. And any additional rainfall, the rivers, again, you were mentioning how some of the rivers may have fallen temporarily, but additional heavy rainfall, especially with saturated ground, is going to run off really quickly. The rivers are going to respond really quickly again. So I think any place across the region where the flash flood watches are currently in effect, everyone should try to be as cognizant of what's going on. Have some way of getting the warnings, especially in the middle of the night. So again, we think it looks like it might be a thing where it intensifies in the early morning hours. So it's all, and obviously a lot of people are going to be sleeping at that time. So it's always important to keep abreast of the latest warnings from the National Weather Service.
Yeah, make sure your phones are charged. You're able to hear all these alerts as they come in. Are we talking about another 10 inches of rain coming in some parts?
It could be locally another 5 to 10 inches of rain. We've seen that general pattern every night where, not every area gets those amounts of rain. But when you look at each individual day, you can see there's been pockets of some very heavy rainfall amounts with this very slow-moving system. So given what we've seen for the past few days, we don't see any reason why that potential does not exist again tonight.
And it's all going into the watershed, again, feeds into whatever river you're nearby, whether it's the Guadalupe, the Frio, we see the Nueces River. They're all at flood stages. People have got to take this seriously. I hate the cliches, but it's true. Don't turn around. Don't drown. Don't put yourself in danger.
That's a great point. The water can move your car more quickly and more easily than you think. And a lot of times you don't know how deep the water is.
We're going to continue our breaking news coverage. Got to go to this break. Bob Orvecki is the senior national forecaster with the Weather Prediction Center to National Weather Service. They are on top of it. They're sending out the alerts. They're letting people know what is happening in National Treasure. Thank you so much, Bob. Appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome, Dave. Anytime.
We're going to go to break. We'll come back with the latest on what's happening with this catastrophic flooding across Texas. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Stay with us.
Support for this podcast of The Source comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' compensation provider committed to rewarding policyholders who keep their workers safe and losses low. More at texasmutual.com/TXM Advantage. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies, continuing our breaking news coverage of the flooding in the Hill Country and beyond, including Uvalde. The National Weather Service says this flood disaster is not over. Flash flood emergencies remain in effect on portions of the Guadalupe and Pedernales rivers across into Uvalde County, while dangerous new storms are affecting the Del Rio-Brackettville corridor. The highest risk extends across the western Hill Country, across the southern Edwards Plateau, the Rio Grande Plains, and in the U.S. 90 corridor west of San Antonio. High areas of risk. Shelter in place is recommended by the authorities. We're going to go to our reporters, Jack Morgan and Brian Kirkpatrick, in just a moment, but we do want to hear from you. What are you seeing out there? You're our eyes and ears. You want to call in with the weather report? We would welcome that. 833-877-8255. Let's go to Randall on the phones. And Randall, you're on the air.
Well, I had a question for Mr. Orvecki. I don't know. I guess he's gone. So let me switch modes here and just say that I live in Medina County, eastern Medina County. Part of my property does sit on the old Medina River bed that has been largely dead for I don't know how many years now. 2 days ago, I did go for a drive towards Castroville, and I crossed the bridge, and I was happy to see water, lots of water moving down the riverbed. It was like the river from 15, 20 years ago had magically reappeared. But I suspect that will be gone by Friday or Saturday unless we get some sort of rain. I haven't really seen any big rainfall totals where I live, sort of between Castroville and La Costa.
Yeah, but we're seeing the downstream effects coming.
Yes,
Zavala County is being hammered with heavy water right now. They're dealing with the flooding. And so people need to realize that even if you didn't get rain in your area, your creek or your stream that you have could become very volatile. It would be beneficial. Yeah. You can check online, get the latest, watch what's happening around you, because it could come up very quickly. We're talking about walls of water that are 10, 20, 30 feet high hitting some areas. And so people can be caught before they're able to react. And Randall, I know the producer note said you wanted to ask about climate change. We're going to be talking about climate change later in the hour. So I appreciate your call.
Okay, thanks. Have a good one.
All right, so let's go to Texas Public Radio reporter Jack Morgan. He's been in Bernie along the Guadalupe with his reporting. And Jack Morgan, are you there? Jack. Okay, and so let's go to Brian Kirkpatrick. And Brian, are you there? Okay, so we're having some sort of technical issue there. So let's get
Can you hear me now, Dave?
Yeah, so Brian, thanks. So Brian, you've been dispatched to Blanco County, that area, the Pedernales. We know that the Pedernales has had a lot of water in it. They're expecting there's a flash flood emergency, in fact, there till 4:30. And that the National Weather Service says describes a large and deadly flood wave moving from Fredericksburg area downstream through Stonewall, Johnson City, Pedernales State Park, and this emergency carries the catastrophic damage designation. So what are you seeing there?
Well, we just checked in with the Blanco County Sheriff's Office and Emergency Management here they're still in a kind of a wait and watch mode. There's no emergency shelter set up right here. We do know the river is going to crest sometime this afternoon at around 22 feet. It's still expected to rise about 10 feet here to Johnson City. It's about 106-mile-long river that is fed by springs out of Kimball County and empties into Lake Travis. But if the river does reach that level here, again at 22 feet later this afternoon, a lot of secondary and primary roads around from Stonewall to Lake Travis could be flooded. And there's been some reports that Highway 87 may soon become impassable. The emergency management coordinator said, fortunately, about this terrain along the river between Stonewall and here in Johnson City, a lot of these homes that are on the river sit high up, and he thinks far enough to where if folks just shelter in place, they'll be fine. Now, low-lying parks like the LBJ National Park, the Pernalla State Park, are definitely not a good scene or won't be a good scene here in a couple of hours. This river flows very close to the graves of Lyndon Johnson and Lady Bird Johnson at their ranch there near Stonewall, Dave.
Brian Kirkpatrick, thank you so much. To recap what he told us, that we're expecting flooding to hit the Pernalla River in the Blanco County area. It's going to cut off primary, secondary roads, bridges, and crossings between Stonewall and Lake Travis. Those areas could become dangerous. Low portions of Pernalla State Park also will be flooding. Now let's go to Dan. So join us in the studio. We have Dan Katz, Texas Public Radio's Vice President of News, to give us an update on what is happening with a wider view.
Yeah, we were listening in to Governor Greg Abbott's press conference this morning, where he confirmed at least one death from the latest flooding and said that the search and rescue efforts remain underway. Let's listen into that.
I have learned that there has been one loss of life now, and that happened overnight. I am informed that the loss of life is not a camper. We will double check on that to make sure.
And we are working to confirm the details there. Abbott also addressed questions about whether the flood warning sirens function properly as the floodwaters rapidly rose in Kirk County. And we'll hear from him now on that.
With regard to sirens, I am told the sirens have worked. Let me give you a caveat. All sirens worked. With regard to one of the sirens, at sometime before 4 a.m. this morning, there was a triggering of the siren that did not go off immediately, but it was triggered again 5 minutes or 10 minutes later, and it did go off at that time. So for all practical purposes, the functionality of the sirens worked just fine.
And so the flooding is an issue beyond Kerr County, other parts of South Central Texas also facing dangerous conditions. We talked about Uvalde, Gillespie, Blanco County is also under a flood emergency. And here he is talking about the extent of the flooding across the state.
We have massive flooding in the larger, or say the greater Kerrville area. But we also are looking at what's going to be taking place in Uvalde. There are massive challenges in Uvalde as well as other regions. And in fact, people need to understand to expect very meaningful flooding in the Rio Grande. And so as we gather more information over the course of this morning, I will be looking at all the different places that I will be going to myself.
And Abbott said the state's response continues to grow, more personnel and equipment being deployed as rescue operations continue. Here he is talking about the state's overall response.
As of yesterday, Texas already had more than 1,300 personnel actively engaged in responding to this. No doubt that number has increased already. We have been engaged in making rescues. We've rescued well over 70 people already, and we will continue making those rescues every step of the way. Our number one focus is saving lives.
Now, this rescue mission, it can be complicated, and local officials in different areas, we heard from folks in Kendall County a little bit earlier today, preparing for a second wave that could make the rescue operations more complicated. So folks who are in these areas are definitely urged not to travel and not to create any more issues than responders are already dealing with at the moment.
All right, Dan Katz, thank you for that update. Let's go now. We do have Jack Morgan, And Jack Morgan has been in Bernie and Kendall County and covering the flooding of the Guadalupe. And Jack, are you there?
I am here. Do you hear me?
Yeah, you sound great. So, Jack, what are you seeing? What have you seen this morning?
Well, the first thing I noticed that was odd is when I got here, everybody knows Sydney Baker Street, where it crosses the Guadalupe, is, you know, goes to Louise Hayes Park. That bridge was shut down and had kind of a curious reason for being shut down. There's dredging going on upstream. One of the big dredge units broke away from its moorings and ended up under the bridge. The officials in charge have decided not to open the bridge until they're sure that it's safe.
Right. So you were in Bernie yesterday when there was severe flooding, and now you're in Kerrville. Is that correct?
Right. On the way up, I went to Comfort and I couldn't believe how wide the Guadalupe River is there. It's like a mile wide or so. I've never seen it that flooded.
And so have you seen a lot of the damage? You know, because like last year, so many trees were knocked down. And I'm wondering, like, and then some were still on their side, and there's a lot of cleanup that still needed to be done. I mean, do you see these floods compound?
Yeah, it's almost beyond imagination to me that they've had, essentially in the last year, they've had three of these events. You know, had one earlier this week. And the trees along in the Guadalupe, a lot of them are tilted over at 45-degree angles. They were coming back from the last problem. You know, most of them had green leaves on them. I kind of wonder how they're going to fare after a third flood.
Have you seen a lot of evidence of high water rescues or people keeping away?
I've only seen two helicopters. One was a big military one, and one was much smaller. I don't know their specific details. The fact is, a lot I don't know. I'm here at the Happy State Bank Expo Hall, which is where all the emergency service folks gather before they go out on their assigned duties. And, you know, I've tried to ask people what the status is of the flood and deaths and such. And they say, well, no, we can't talk to you. Okay, that's fine. They got the PIO, the public information officer, and he couldn't address any of these issues. And I said, well, when is there going to be a press conference? And he said, there's none scheduled at this point. I can't imagine that to, you know, continue, because the public will want to know about the status of things.
Well, certainly there is a distinction between what happened last year is that, you know, we've had only one reported death so far. Hopefully it just stays that way. And last year, of course, the numbers were catastrophic. And you have to wonder if there has been an improvement in the responding and the taking of this seriously than we had a year ago.
It sounds like it. Now, I've got to say that I talked to a married couple who, they haven't specifically lost their house yet, but they woke up overnight. There were things that were floating in their room that were hitting the bed. That's what woke them. And it was, she said it was just below her knee and, you know, the depth of the water in their house. So they're waiting for it to dry up.
These are people who just got over repairing their homes from last year's flood, and here it is again. And then the level of exhaustion or whether or not repairing and rebuilding would even be allowed, because if this becomes an annual event, how does that make sense?
Right. And it doesn't make sense, I suppose. So we'll see they were at the corner of Lawson and Schweiner Streets. They said that there were five or more houses that were destroyed within their block. So it's pretty tough.
Right. And so there is also the weather forecast calling for maybe 5 to 10 inches of more rain that could hit overnight in the region. So this is not over, Jack.
It's not. I got to tell you, they've got the road blocked after Ingram before getting into Hunt. And that's not a good thing. You know, when the road's blocked, that means all the roads are impassable. So we'll see how it shakes out.
And then you have to wonder about people who need medical care, how, you know, some people might be able to shelter in place for 8 hours or so, but if you're asking them to do it for 48 hours or more, whether or not if that's practical.
Yeah, I think there's probably a web of public-spirited things that will probably help them once they get the help they need. They probably can find a place to live while their other house is getting redone.
We can only hope so. So Jack Morgan is out in Kerrville. He's been in Bernie. He's been covering the flood as it proceeds and the reaction, the rescues that are ongoing. Jack Morgan, Texas Public Radio reporter, thank you so much.
You bet.
The Source continues with our breaking news coverage of the flooding in the Hill Country and beyond, including Uvalde. You can call in with your, you know, what you see. You know, you want to be a reporter for us, give us a call. What's happening out there? 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. The Source continues after this break.
Support for TPR comes from UT San Antonio, offering degree programs and research focused on workforce development, student success, and health innovation across Texas. UTSA.edu. UT San Antonio, the University of Ambition.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're covering the breaking news and the public emergency with the flooding in Flash Flood Alley, also down to Uvalde, west of San Antonio, down to the border in Del Rio. You can call in and give us an update where you are, 833-877-8255. Here's a rundown of what we know so far. National Weather Service says this flood disaster is not over. The flash flood emergencies remain in effect on portions of the Guadalupe and Pedernales Rivers and across into Uvalde County. While dangerous new storms are affecting the Del Rio-Brackettville corridor, the highest risk extends across the western Hill Country, southern Edwards Plateau, the Rio Grande Plains, and the U.S. 90 corridor west of San Antonio. At the Guadalupe River, the National Weather Service continues a flash flood emergency from Center Point through Comfort, Waring, Sisterdale, Bernheim until 3:30 this afternoon. It classifies this as a damaging threat, as catastrophic, and says people near the river should move to higher ground rather than attempt to travel. Pedernales River is under a flash flood emergency until 4:30. The National Weather Service describes it as a large and deadly flood wave moving from the Kerrville area, where they had a crest of about 21 feet or almost 30 feet at some points, and it's going to be going downstream. It's going to be hitting the Blanco County area, including Johnson City, Stonewall, Pedernales Falls State Park. If you're in those areas, you need to move to higher ground. It may seem calm now, but that is deceiving. The Llano River, not flooding at this point just yet, but it is rising, and that needs to be watched. A moderate flooding is expected. Slab Road near Kingsland, among the crossings, expected to become dangerous. The Nueces River, we don't really ever talk about the Nueces River, but it's expected at some points to become the most serious flooded river right now in this event. Major flooding is occurring below Uvalde. The National Weather Service suggests a possible record crest, and it has gone into Zavala County. It's going to go all the way downstream. These are areas that where people have gotten comfortable with a pretty much dried up river, but it is going to become a monster river. And down to the Rio Grande with Del Rio, we're seeing Del Rio and Eagle Pass area. They're not really, they're getting a lot of rain, and these are areas that flood very easily. These in Del Rio and Valverde County, they're having flash flooding from intense thunderstorms through their smaller waterways. It's feeding into the Guadalupe, into the Rio Grande. The Devil's River is also expected to rise, and so those things are being we're watching out for. All of this happening 1 year, 12 days ago. The Upper Guadalupe River had its historic and deadly flood on July 4th. It was called a once-in-a-lifetime weather event, but here we are 1 year later. Not only is this happening again, but it is much worse. Meteorologist Shell Winkley joins us. He is with Climate Central. And Shell, what do you make of this repeated and worsening weather pattern?
Yeah, you know, this is really interesting, Dave, just because it's a kind of a clash between weather that we know happens in Texas from time to time. And as you mentioned, we're experiencing it more often, especially in this part of Texas where, you know, rain is so hard to come by. But what we understand is that when it is raining faster, it is raining heavier, and we can get these rounds of repeated rain like we saw last summer and again this year. So, you know, I think to frame this conversation that we're about to have, we're not saying that our warming climate caused these floods this year or last year, right? That's the weather piece. But we understand how it's making it more likely, more frequent. And the way that I always put it, it's like our atmosphere is a bigger bucket. So when you get these right weather systems to come along, we're tipping that bucket and we're adding a little more rain than what would have fallen on an already serious situation.
The number to call in if you want to join the conversation, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. So, Shell, we're talking here about climate change. People don't want to talk about climate change, or particularly saying we're in the middle of a disaster now, but this is happening. How do we identify that? Okay, so you don't want to say this is because of climate change. You have to look at it as it's climate change makes events like this more likely.
Right. So, you know, I think stepping back, and you've talked about this a little bit already, but this is, if you really zoom out, you know, we have this big, what covered the story of the weather as the week started was this big historic high pressure dome sitting over the U.S. And so we were talking all-time record temperatures for different parts of the U.S. And now what we're finding are big fires in Canada that's driving wildfire smoke into the Northeast. That's on the northern edge of this heat dome, but on the southern edge is what we're experiencing, which is the rain. So we've got this weather maker stuck over Texas that's just spitting out these disturbances, causing these rounds of repeated rainfall. But what we know about this area, Flash Flood Alley, right? This is an area that we saw last year and we talked about it. It's already prone to flooding. The reason that we flock to this area, because it's so idyllic, it's so beautiful, those limestone areas, the rivers, that's what also makes it dangerous. So where climate change comes into this is that, again, while this is an area that is hard to get rain these days, we're seeing more dry days than wet days. When we do experience rain in this area, we've seen an increase of rainfall rates. So how much faster that rain is falling out of the sky, anywhere from about 6% to 30% faster rainfall rates than we did just 40 to 50 years ago.
How much do you think these disasters cost? I mean, you know, here we had the big disaster last year. That was, you know, so many buildings wiped out. It had to do a rebuild. And now I don't know if that's going to happen. It's going to be a carbon copy of that event again. But these things are expensive.
These are expensive. And, you know, the first thought is lives, right? Like, that's what we're really watching out for. But it really helps to understand, yeah, what is the price tag on floods like this? So there was a study that was put out very recently that looked at the annual loss of inland flooding. And so what we understand about counties like Medina County and Kerr County, annually we could lose anywhere from $1 million to $10 million because of the damage of inland floods. A county like Bexar County or Travis County, obviously more populated, there's a lot more there. So these inland floods, if they were shifted a little further to the east, could kind of have a price tag of $20 million or more. That's in today's dollars. And what we understand is a warming climate, again, it can hold more moisture. So we understand that these rain events can get heavier, can become more frequent. So by 2050, you know, in Texas dollars across the state, $1.5 billion annually could be lost because of these flood events. By 2050, we may see almost a 50% increase in that price tag as we expect these events to become not only more frequent, but heavier as well.
I'm going to take a caller, Stephen. Hey, Stephen, thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I was just wondering about the Guadalupe River. It eventually empties into Canyon Lake, and I know Canyon Lake's been rising a little bit over previous rains, but is there any worry that today's event might send it over the spillway and cause all sorts of problems downstream on the Guadalupe?
All right, Stephen, thank you for that question. I checked online. The Canyon Lake is rising rapidly because of the heavy rainfall and flooding across the Hill Country. But at this point, the reservoir is still operating well below its flood pool and will continue to do what it was designed to do, which is to capture the flood water and reduce downstream flooding. If we didn't have Canyon Lake, then the flooding would go all the way through New Braunfels and beyond. But that's not going to happen. Right now, the Canyon Lake is at 66.5% full, significantly up from earlier this week. But there's not enough there. There's no chance of this storm activity making the Canyon Lake go off into the spillway. But thanks for that question, Stephen. So people are concerned about what's happening here. They're worried about, you know, will this impact me? Stephen, I mean, Shell.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah, so, I had the same question from my own mom. She lives not too far from the floods. Yeah, so that's a very, you know, you see all the pictures and the videos that are coming across social media and across news feeds. So just the sheer amount of rain we've seen in Texas and knowing that we have more rounds coming. I think that's a very natural question to ask. But I think, as you mentioned a little bit earlier when we were talking with Jack, most of where that high risk is outlined by the Weather Prediction Center, you know, the biggest rains might actually fall north of where we have experienced the heaviest of the rains over the past few days. So that might alleviate some of the freshwater flooding, but we'll have to see how things come downstream as we go through the next 24 hours, too.
Well, a lot of people will be seeing these events like, well, it rains. Oh, here we are again. This happens. But they don't really make the connection that somehow this is a part of climate change. And not only will this continue to happen, but it will get worse if we don't address climate change. How do you help people put that together?
Yeah. So again, you know, we have to look at the whole picture here. And so one of the ways that we can put a fingerprint of climate change on the rain we've experienced over the past, three, 4 days now, you know, we're a water planet and we're not far from a big bathtub that we call the Gulf of Mexico. So one thing that we understand that we probably all learned in physics class in high school, and a lot of us forgot it, is that for every 1 degree Fahrenheit of warming our atmosphere undergoes, it can hold about 4% more moisture. Now, why that's important is because right now the Gulf of Mexico, even by July standards, is above average. And so we can use what's called attribution science to understand that fingerprint in real time. And so we know that those warmer than average temperatures were made 10 to 30 times more likely by climate change, because all the heat trapping pollution that goes in the atmosphere, about 90% of that sinks into our oceans. So here's why that matters, because a warmer ocean can allow for more evaporation. Think about that as more rain making moisture. So that's suspended above our head. Most days in Texas, you might feel that as humidity. But when we get these weather events like we're seeing this week, where it's just disturbance after disturbance, it's tapping into that extra moisture. And so again, the weather system itself is the reason that we're seeing rain. But these warmer atmosphere, the warmer ocean, that tied into it is the piece that we understand is making this rain even heavier. And you were talking with Jack a bit ago about the down trees from last year's flood. We've seen some trees come down this year. One of our natural barriers to try to alleviate some of this flooding and runoff is nature, right, native trees.
So we're seeing the compounding effect of these weather events 1 year after the next.
Correct, yeah.
So all right, I got to let you go. Shell Winkley is a meteorologist with Climate Central. Thanks for coming on the air and helping us talk through this. We appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks.
Source continues with our breaking news coverage of the flooding that's happening. Stay with us.
A year ago, one of the deadliest floods in U.S. history tore through the Texas Hill Country. Since then, we've been following up with survivors.
Everything is gone.
And people who lost loved ones.
I find myself just shaking my head, saying, I can't believe I find myself here.
You can hear their stories on the podcast After the Flood, from the Texas Newsroom and PBS's Frontline, out now.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're in breaking news mode. We're covering the widespread flooding that is happening in Flash Flood Alley, the Texas Hill Country, also to the west of us and down to the border in Del Rio. I want to give you an update on the major road closures. U.S. 90 is closed in both directions in portions of Kenny County, disrupting travel between Uvalde, Brackettville, and Del Rio. Additional closures were reported at Sabinal and west of Uvalde. Texas 39 closed from Ingram west towards U.S. 83 because of flooding. Authorities consider travel throughout Kerr County hazardous, and they ask people not to do it unless they are seeking higher ground. Otherwise, they ask you to shelter in place. Kerrville, the Sydney Baker Street bridges are closed. Other portions of Texas 27 and local bridges have been closings, and they've been affected by the higher water. Comfort, U.S. 87, and river crossings have been affected by the rising Guadalupe. Gillespie County, there's been confirmed closures, including Highway 16 at Oak Ridge Road, portions of FM 648 and Dinosaur Ranch Road. And so there's a lot happening. This is not a complete list. Low water crossings are changing all the time. They're asking you, though, if you see a barricade, do not challenge it. The water there can sweep you away before you know it. Governor Greg Abbott has declared a state disaster in 59 counties because of the storms and the flooding, and the National Weather Service says this is not over. Flood watch remains in effect through 7 p.m. tonight, and that more heavy rain is expected to develop overnight and into Friday morning. So this is an ongoing this breaking news situation we're keeping you apprised of. And then we go to Dan Katz, and you've got information about how people can help.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, here in San Antonio, it's hard to believe that we were just dealing with a tornado hitting the rim about 24 hours ago. So there's a lot of pieces to pick up there. There's cleanup there.
People displaced.
That's right. A lot of issues that our community is still dealing with, but we are fortunate enough to have been dropped. Bexar County has been dropped from this flood watch. And we've had listeners write in asking how they can help. And so a couple of options are Mercy Chefs. They provide hot meals for affected communities. And they support families, emergency crews, and volunteers. That's Mercy Chefs. There's also the Community Foundation of the Hill Country set up a Texas Relief Fund for nonprofits.
So we are now going to be bringing in the executive director of the Community Fund of the Hill Country. Austin Dixon now joins us, executive director of the Community Foundation of the Texas Hill Country. Austin, are you there? Not yet. Okay. All right, so I'm told we're on standby waiting for him to join us. And so, so Dan, back to that, there's lots of ways people can help. So this is the thing I'm worried about, is we hear about compassion fatigue, giving fatigue. People really reached out with their hearts, and they gave so much last year. It was the July 4th disaster. We had the Camp Mystic disaster. And while we don't have such a high death toll, we still have a lot of need. And we wonder, you know, how is that going to work out this time?
Well, in our community, sometimes it feels like we're dealing with overlapping disasters or overlapping tragedies that we're all going through together. The Youth Peace and Justice Foundation is another one. It was founded after the Robb Elementary School shooting, and they opened up a fund today for the victims of the flash floods, and you can donate to that one, the Youth Peace and Justice Foundation, if you search for that on
social
media.
That's in Uvalde.
That's right. Austin Pets Alive, helping with adoptions. There's all sorts of groups in San Antonio doing that. And, you know, the need is there. And our community has responded every time they've been
asked. So let's go now to Austin Dixon. He is executive director of the Community Foundation of the Texas Hill Country. Austin, welcome to The Source. And it looks like we lost him. All right. So I do know that the Community Foundation of the Texas Hill Country has opened up a new fund to support the area with this new flooding situation. So after July 4th, the Community Foundation of the Texas Hill Country, they did step up and they took the lead in fundraising and recovery at that time. And they did a phenomenal job. They were able to raise so much money.
$150 million.
Working with local nonprofits in the area, getting people money to give them places to stay, secondary housing when they were displaced, and also helping them guide them through the disaster recovery, helping them understand the FEMA process, and getting them also funds for recovery. And now we do have Austin Dixon. Austin, are you there?
I am. Hello.
Hey, Austin, I know you're really busy right now dealing with this latest disaster. So I understand you've opened up a new fund. Is that correct?
Yes, we've opened the Texas Hill Country Flood Relief Fund here at the Community Foundation.
Talk about, you just went through this. How do you feel? I mean, are you like, holy smokes, not again?
Absolutely. Holy smokes, not again. And yet we're ready for this moment. We were ready a year ago, and we've spent a year helping and build for what's next. And we're going to do it again. We know exactly how this is going to go. We have experience from 12 months ago, and we plan to exhibit leadership and resilience like we have this past year yet again for our community.
So last year, the marching orders, as I understand it, was not just to rebuild, but rebuild back stronger. Are you seeing the benefits of that?
Absolutely. You know, we have invested deeply in getting people home again, putting people up in temporary housing while they figure out their next steps, helping people that lived in dangerous places who cannot rebuild to seek down payment assistance and move elsewhere, helping people relocate to other communities that are less flood prone in the Hill Country. We've also deeply invested in mental health, which is now a nonprofit mental health infrastructure in our community that absolutely will be activated.
Yeah, I wonder about the kids who went through the flooding last year and were upset by that and traumatized by that. And then they heard from their parents, don't worry, it's never going to happen again. And now it's happening again. So they're definitely going to need, you know, help.
Absolutely. We have invested in some wonderful organizations like the Children's Bereavement Center of South Texas, which has set up programming here in the Hill Country. We've invested in Hill Country MHDD, which is based out of Kerrville, that is supporting mental health first responders throughout the community and throughout the region, as well as several other mental health organizations that are going to help people going through kind of opening up old pains and old wounds from last year.
Also, there was the effort to replant the Guadalupe, a lot of efforts to do that. Has all that work been washed out?
No, some of that work, a lot of planting was planned for this fall. So that work will continue. And there were several trees that were planted this summer that are still there and are staked to the ground. And so, no, that work continues on apace. And that is a generational-long project that kicks off in earnest this fall. So I have a lot of hope for that still.
Do you see an improvement in the flood response this year to the one last year? I hate asking you that question because I wish neither one had happened.
Yeah, I wish neither one had happened either. You know, I can only speak, I'm not an emergency manager and I'm not a government official. I can only speak as a resident that I have received and seen, and my friends and colleagues and neighbors have seen and received a lot of warnings via text and phone that seem to have let people know what is coming over the past few days. I don't know if that's due to the forecast or due to...
Or just an improvement to just to the media getting these messaging out, because it does seem like being able to communicate. So we can't flatten the Hill Country and get rid of Flash Flood Alley, but we can create more of a culture where people can appreciate the dangers and prepare for it.
Absolutely. We can create a culture of resilience to where when we get knocked down, we can get back up stronger.
So you're creating this new fund. Are you, we spoke about this earlier, the concern about compassion fatigue, or people felt like, oh, I gave last time. How many floods are they going to have over there? Is that going to be a problem?
It's too soon to tell. We just opened up the fund a few hours ago, so we will see. But I think that the American people are a generous people, and this disaster is different than last year, although it has some similarities. And We'll see how it turns out.
And people do want to give, like sometimes they want to provide immediate support. Like can people provide like water and blankets or whatever, or is that needed?
Absolutely. There's an organization called Care Together, and there's an organization called Global Empowerment Mission. And both those organizations are coordinating volunteers and supplies. And so I would recommend that listeners look up both of those organizations here in the Hill Country. Very quickly, water pallets and clothes and blankets stack up very quickly. And one of the easiest, best, safest, and most helpful things is to simply make an online donation. And so that's what we would encourage.
So we're hearing from the National Weather Service that this is not over yet. We're going to get another round of heavy rain overnight. Could be as much as 10 inches in some places. People in Kerrville need to be ready and take care because this is not over yet. Austin Dixon, any thoughts real quick?
It's not over yet, but we are ready and we are responding, and we will get through it.
All right. Also want to mention that Community Foundation is a donor to Texas Public Radio, and that had nothing to do with having this interview because we wanted to get the latest from the man in the middle of things. Austin Dixon, thank you so much.
Thank you, David.
That's The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.